stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Listener discretion is advised for explicit content.
You know, I think we had a rebellion.
I'm here to tell you about the evils of police cards for all dancers in San Diego.
This was not a fair thing that was happening to us. You know, they were destroying lives, and they were there to protect and to serve, and they were not.
So does that handle your concern?
No, Ms. Pierce says.
A lot of things were happening around the country that were rebellious.
In the last 11 years, I've been very active in maintaining the rights of dancers.
And I love that fierce protectiveness about her. She's like a big mama bear.
I was bringing out my stripper energy, and there was no backing down for me.
After more than a decade of sexual harassment, coerced encounters, and psychological abuse by San Diego Vice, Kata Pierce Morgan and her fellow Lit Girls dancers were ready to tap into their stripper energy and fight back. If polite society and the legal system were not going to help them end the abuse, then they would take matters into their own hands. If no one was willing to believe a bunch of strippers, then Kata would install video cameras to prove their claims. If the Rat Pack cops thought they could terrorize them into silence, then they would find their voice and speak up. And if internal affairs refused to take their complaint seriously, then Kata would simply have to come up with a new game plan. Prepare for Chapter 5, Fighting Back, or the Rise of Stripper Energy. I need to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more of Stripper Energy, Fighting Back from the Fringes. And just a reminder, this is also available as a video podcast. Go to kpbs.org/stripperenergy for more information.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I knew her, she was very brave.
Lawyer John Barrage represented Lit Girls in the 1980s.
She was the driving force behind 90% of our complaints to the police department. She wanted to make sure that misconduct was reported.
Kata wanted to work within the system. She wanted the police department to be held accountable through proper channels. But the proper channels kept letting her down.
So it says, "Dear Ms. Pierce, this is to inform you that a thorough investigation into your complaint has been completed. We have determined that certain actions of the officers were improper. However, Section 832.7 of the Penal Code prohibits the disclosure of any disciplinary action taken when contained in the officer's personnel file. For this reason, we are unable to be specific as to what action will ultimately be taken."
The problem when representing adult entertainment is the public doesn't care. The police don't care. Ultimately, you have to do something drastic like go to court to get some kind of action.
So Kata went to court, filing claims on behalf of multiple dancers.
"Here are dancer arrests."
But true justice never came. Consider the case of Angela Faulkner, a young dancer who had been relentlessly harassed by a member of the Vice Squad's Rat Pack.
"The city paid a settlement to her of a minimal amount of only $700, which, if you compare it to what the police women, they received $35,000 because officers made sexual comments to them. And yet Angela, who had to endure this night after night, she only received $700.
Somehow they always got away with it. They always got promoted. And then they ended up in being in charge of the checks and balances.
Kata finally realized she needed a new approach. So she went public.
I always went by myself. When I was first with the mayor and the city council and all these different meetings that I went to, it was me by myself. And then finally one day, I asked for help. And I was on three more shows where I included a stripper.
Have you been harassed by the Vice Squad?
I have been threatened with arrest by them before.
If you're going to arrest me, because we have attorneys.
In Pepper, Kata found someone with the stripper energy to match her own.
In that same few years, we had also spoken before the Libertarian Party. Kata was really the leader of that, and I spoke too, but she was really the spearhead of that. And they really did give us a voice. They were amazing.
Yes.
What's the chance of you running for San Diego office?
None whatsoever.
Kata spoke at the Libertarian Party State Convention in 1991.
The reporters that are doing these headline-breaking stories about the corruption, they contacted me in 87, and they said they were interested in following through on what I was saying. And at first, I didn't know if I could trust them, but they really did come through.
She was smart going to the media.
J.W. August was a journalist covering the police in the 1980s.
I'm not saying that because I'm in the media, but she was smart. It provided her protection and insurance in case she disappeared or something bad happened to her.
Going to the media also helped her battle the work permits the city wanted the dancers to have in order to perform at an adult entertainment venue. In the past, vice officers would threaten to pull these permits if dancers did not comply with their demands. The permits had been done away with in the early 1970s after a grand jury report exposed the Rat Pack's behavior. But by the 1980s, they were back.
I was fighting the permits. Oh, shoot. Okay, here we go.
As a test of the law, Les Girls will not require their dancers to have the new permits.
The cards give the police power over girls afraid of losing their permit to work.
Les Girls management also feels there is a possibility that a crooked vice detective could use the card as leverage against her dancers to obtain sexual favors.
The dancers need to be protected from the police, not the customers being protected from the dancers.
Are San Diego Vice Squad officers harassing dancers at Les Girls?
And nothing really has changed since the 1970 report where they found that the head of the vice department was forcing women to have sex with him or they would lose their work permits.
We were going through a very difficult time with the police abuse through the 70s and the 80s, and the last thing we needed was for them to have that one more tool to abuse us or force us into sex.
But what they didn't realize is that, you know, it was bringing out my stripper energy, because I knew I had to fight those.
I'm here to tell you about the evils of police cards for all dancers in San Diego.
Ms. Pierce claims those cards can lead to abuse by vice officers. But police say the permits are a reasonable regulation to prevent prostitution.
There's no reason for the cards, outside of the fact that they want to control the dancers, and there has been a past record of sexual abuse of dancers by vice officers. I'm strongly opposed to the cards based on that.
The work permit fight took many, many appearances throughout 87.
I want to also emphasize the fact we call the San Diego Vice Squad. The fact that they're not here does not indicate anything other than the fact that they did not want to be part of this conversation, but we gave them a chance to be on. But why is it a bad idea in your opinion?
Well, there's a very good reason. The ID cards that they're requiring have a horrendous track record.
I spent all of 87 in front of the city council and all the different agencies, and I overturned the city ordinance that would require the dancers here to have these horrendous work permits.
But the city made it a very narrowly defined victory. Since Les Girls was a theater and its primary business was the entertainment on stage, and it did not serve alcohol, its dancers would be exempt from the work permits.
Whereas everyone else in San Diego still had to get the work permits, no one else fought back because they were afraid of the police and that they would lose their liquor licenses, which as a theater, we don't serve liquor. After I decided to take the offensive instead of reacting defensively when dealing with corrupt and abusive officers, the vice and licensing departments came up with a new scheme to give them tremendous power over the dancers and the theater manager.
And that was the 6-foot ordinance, which dictated a minimum distance between customers and nude dancers. If a nude dancer came a fraction of an inch closer than 6 feet to a customer, then she could be cited, and the establishment could also suffer consequences. Now Vice could spend hours watching naked women waiting and hoping for them to violate the 6-foot ordinance.
So we were challenging it because, once again, like the work permits, which I had fought and won, this was another tool that they could threaten, you know, that, oh, your hand came over the 6-foot line. And that was what they said. If their hand goes over the 6-foot line, we are citing you, we're citing the business. And so I was fighting it on that concept, that we'd already been through years and years of being frightened of them.
But Kata could not get the 6-foot ordinance repealed. She could only use her cameras to keep the Rat Pack cops from filing false reports against her dancers. Plus, she needed to address what she saw as a new threat from Vice.
So let's take a sweep of the area.
It started with a rise in prostitution on the corner of Riley and Hancock, right in front of Lay Girls Theater. Police were not responding to Kata's complaints about the sudden influx of pimps and prostitutes in the Midway area. Since Lay Girls was located near the Naval Training Center, sailors had always been a key customer base. So when police included the Naval Investigative Service in a sting operation targeting sailors but not prostitutes for arrest, and then took the opportunity to publicly link prostitution with adult entertainment venues like Lay Girls, Kata knew something was up. Her theory? Could it be that the police were deliberately setting up the Midway area with a large concentration of prostitutes in order for it to be labeled a trouble spot, and then put off limits by the Navy, which would be financially devastating to her business? I need to take one last break, and then I'll be back with more of Stripper Energy, fighting back from the fringes.
This season on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm going to classes, workshops, and private venues designed to enrich and broaden our sexual horizons, and I'm taking you with me. I meet with an erotic mindfulness coach, get a pelvic floor exam, talk with new moms, and even put on my dancing shoes and take a beginning burlesque class, and much more. Find season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly wherever you get your podcasts, and come join me in my search for fun and sexy adventures that are available to you.
What didn't I do? I mean, I took every avenue I could, you know, to stop what I thought was a setup. The first thing I did was, because what they were doing historically was they were trying to declare us a trouble spot by having as many arrests or incidents as they could at our location. And they found that it was easier to go through the Navy to put us off limits and then to hurt us financially. And that's what they were intending to do. So what I did is I went to the Naval base, the NTC, and I talked to the head guy. He was a commander. And then the second thing I did, which is interesting, is I kept a detailed journal from the get-go. For months, I had a helpless feeling concerning the prostitution, as I felt that the police had no viable plan or interest in solving the influx of prostitution into our area. I decided to conduct my own undercover operation. I ended up getting cameras like this, you know, the big cameras. I used walkie-talkies and I used the microcassette. I actually started putting it where nobody could get to it, and that was inside. I can't even do it anymore. I've matured, I'm bigger. But I would wear it right here like this, and I would go around with this mini cassette going. I decided that, you know, I was going to have to prove that we were being set up. So I dressed in my concept of a hooker, and I went outside, and I spent months in the summer of 89 out on the streets, and I had my own camera crew. We had the big cameras. We had cameras set up at that time under the Lay Girl sign. We had a flower shop with plexiglass. So that was our ground zero or home base.
Owners are always doing battle with the city over new restrictions. They've also complained about harassment from the Vice Squad. And recently they've encountered another problem, prostitution. Street hookers picking up customers. The owner of Lay Girls documented the influx of prostitutes, photographing the women, their pimps, and cab drivers.
Tell you something, I have privacy.
all right? I like to have some privacy. If you don't want that camera right there taken off and be thrown on the ground, I'll smash it.
I found that the cabbies appeared to be working with the girls. They were running a limousine service. There are many pimps in the area, you know, circulating, lurking in the shadows. And from all appearances, it didn't seem to me that the uniformed patrol were doing anything about it.
Cotta also hoped to disrupt the business the pimps and prostitutes were trying to conduct outside lay girls.
First of all, when a hooker is trying to approach a John, the last thing that either of them want is to be on camera. The other thing I did was I protected the military guys
by handing out flyers warning them of how they could be arrested.
So I've got one great photo of this hooker, and she's leaning. There's the potential John, and they've got my flyer, and they're both reading it together. And I just find that picture charming, precious. So Shorty and I were out there, and we were doing the filming. You see Shorty with his camera, and he's filming the hooker.
Go ahead, you can go to jail.
And then you see them fighting.
You're the one that's going to end up in fucking jail, you asshole.
Bullshit.
Don't touch me.
You started off by touching the camera.
I put my hand in front of the camera. I didn't touch your
fucking precious camera. Oh, bullshit. There's fingerprints on there.
You touch my hand again and you're a fucking asshole.
You better leave the area now. Otherwise, I will call the police.
We are the police.
So we busted a sting. What I had to do is to make friends with the hookers. One was Cindy, and she was this sweet little ditzy blonde. And she was telling me, you know, about their relationship with the cops and how they were.
The vibes be drinking and dating more than any trick out here, you know?
Yeah, I know.
They do, and then they take you to jail after they get done and get their money back, you know?
Yeah.
And I explained to her what I was doing, and I said, listen, as I told all of the hookers, you can go anywhere you want to, but we're stuck here. We're licensed. They're trying to take our license away, and we have nowhere to go.
Why did they come over
here? Why did they come here?
Okay, I used to work at El Cajon.
Yeah.
And I didn't find out about this place till December.
Yeah.
But then everybody started moving over here because the police were taking us to jail.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been here.
You mean the police were taking you to jail in El Cajon?
And they come over here and the police are real nice with us. Because we used to work right back here and then we all started working here. And now all the girls work way down Rosecrans.
Cotta spent months on what she called her street patrol and was thrilled to find out from Turk, the bodyguard from the business next door to Lay Girls, that the cops were not happy with her undercover operation.
But at 1 a.m., Turk arrives and tells me something, quote, I'll be happy to know about. He had talked to an officer. Turk told me that the police had it planned to put us off limits. Then the police could notify the Navy about the problem and have Navy put us off limits. That is why they had the sting on June 2nd. Turk said, the officer said that the Navy was easier to work through, to first hurt business by declaring us off limits and then to declare us a public nuisance area. However, the officer said, Kathleen is preventing that from happening because she has kept the area clear and they won't be able to have any more stings. Turk said that the officer stated that if Kathleen keeps this up, they will have nothing to base their plans on.
Kathleen Pierce's videotape campaign worked. The hookers left her corner. She says the police are now working with her to keep the area clean and her business reputation intact.
You want to take the microphone and set out from your chest?
Oh, yes, thank you.
No, the one that you, is it still in your bra?
Oh, sorry, that one. Oh. See, I have a comfortability with this. I'm used to wearing microcassettes in my bra.
But her undercover operation also resulted in an unexpected encounter with a pair of patrol cops.
I was just thinking, oh, okay, what's happening now? And they told me to get into the patrol car, and so I did. And so for the next, I'd like to say it was almost an hour on that. I was in the back of this patrol car. And then finally it got down to the reason they wanted me in the car was they wanted me to fix them up on a date. The one officer, he wanted me to fix them up on a date with Sugar. And he told me that it was my mission You know, it was my assignment. It was my mission to fix him up with sugar.
I've got a glow of sugar.
Well,
gosh damn it. Kathy, I'm giving you an assignment. You give us assignment down here. Take care of your heart, dude. Try to get him. I've got a mission for you.
Okay, well, I'm glad I met you guys. You know, I guess I ought to be going then. No, I don't know how to get out of here. I just
can't get out. Once you get out here. Bye, Kathy.
Bye. It was nice talking to you.
Cotta was not going to report the cop until two of the dancers told her he was harassing Sugar inside Les Girls and asking other dancers to set him up on a date. But when Cotta reported this to Vice, the officer seemed unconcerned.
Was he making threats or he didn't go
out? Well, no, he was. He told me it was my mission, my assignment to fix him up with this girl. And, you know, I told him that her mom had just died. And it was just it was a psychological pressure, having to be friendly and yet trying to tell him at the same time that it wasn't a good idea.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out what he did to you other than ask, so we can address it other than ask you to fix up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did he say he was going to put somebody in jail or
write no, tickets? No, there like was that? No, there was no threats involved. He just kept telling me he wanted to go out with her and that it was my mission and assignment to make that happen. Mm. Anyway, it's just a bad combination.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be that kind of situation when there's someone when there's an imbalance of power.
Okay, well, we'll make some assignments here, and we'll have somebody get back with you. I don't know how soon, but we'll be getting back with you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Cotta reported him, only to receive another placatory letter acknowledging that certain actions of the officers were improper. The 1990s would see improvement for Les Girls and the dancers. Cotta's stripper energy had triumphed. She had managed to create a safe space for her dancers.
We are run and managed by women. No bartenders or bouncers trying to put the make on any of us. And so I know that this is a safe place to be. I've worked at a number of places, you know, actually I think 6. And there's a big difference between this place and others.
It's a difference she's proud of because she's always stood up for dancers' rights. So when the city wanted to reinstate work permits in 2018, Cotta had a decision to make.
And they wanted me to go ahead and let the dancers get the work permits. And I'm looking at this, the whole setting and how different it was. And they assured me that there were so many checks and balances that nothing bad would ever happen to us again. And so then I said, well, in that case, we will get the work permits. And so after 1987 to 2018, I backed down. I didn't back down. I agreed. You know, I felt that we were safe doing it.
Mel, who requested her identity not be revealed, is the current manager of Les Girls Theater. She says Vice is no longer a problem.
We haven't really had any big issues. I mean, we got a letter once from Vice telling us that one of the girls had violated the law, the no touching law. And I said, I want to know what date and time this supposedly happened because I'm going to review our footage. And that was the last time that we ever got that kind of letter. But I do think that a portion of it is they realize that Kathy will fight her ass off, as she did before, and they're not going to take advantage of us.
Today, the impact of Cotta's fight can be felt beyond Les Girls in the adult entertainment industry. Long-sought reforms are now in place, thanks to decades of activism against police abuse from many marginalized communities. Police are no longer able to just investigate themselves and consider a case closed. San Diego now has a Citizens Police Review Board with subpoena power. J.W. August has pushed for this kind of accountability through his reporting.
That was, to me, one of the most important things I did, is trying to push for change in how they review the cops. You have to have a Citizens Review Board. If you don't, then the inmates are running the asylum, and you don't want that. That could be trouble.
More work needs to be done, but he sees improvement.
I think there is more of a recognition of the need for transparency. PD talks about transparency all the time now, though a culture like that and the kind of work they do, I think it lends itself to still trying to hide things that could embarrass the department.
Kate Yabandidi is a lawyer and activist involved in police oversight.
I think really the important thing in what we've been trying to do with the new commission and with the other work that we've done on police oversight and accountability is to encourage people to use their voice and to stand up when they see something, even though it can be very difficult.
And maybe some will say, oh yeah, I've been through that. And those are the people that reach my heart, you know, is the people that were part of a marginalized group, you know, like we were strippers. There are a lot of people that experienced that in their communities where they had no recourse, you know. And we were, as strippers, we were speaking out, but nobody listened to us. Until I followed 7-Eleven and I put in video cameras here, you know. And then the people that were up to no good were caught on tape. And they had to sustain my charges. They had to.
That history of fighting back, that sense of stripper energy, is something Cotta wants to preserve.
I insist on maintaining Les Girls as being open because it's part of history, and I hate to see things demolished. You know, it represents a lot about activism, you know, all the things that happened to us. There's so many stories that I think would disturb people or shock people, surprise people.
Pepper is eager to point out the success stories of the Les Girls dancers that are continuing today.
This one works in Texas. She's a very successful real estate agent. The other one, lawyer and real estate agent.
Public defender.
This one is a comptroller for a very prestigious law firm here in town. This one is a yoga teacher and a school administrator. And this one is an equine dentist.
Yeah, so these cops that wrote no humans involved, yeah, sure. They're the public defenders and the pet dentists, and they take care of your kids. And, you know, I mean, my God, you guys have no idea what these women were capable of then and no idea what they're capable of now. If you met them, you wouldn't even know they were these women that you marginalized then and that are doing amazing things now.
Coming up on the final episode of Stripper Energy, Fighting Back from the Fringes, we'll meet a new breed of fringe women and discover how art can heal as Cotta and fellow artists talk about their plays at fringe festivals around the globe.
Where there is art, there is hope. That's Fringe for you.
Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.